Well, I have a question for you this morning. It's there on your handout. Who encourages you? Who encourages you? Or if you're older, you might think back, who are those people in your life that encouraged you to be all that you were meant to be? Who encouraged you to reach your potential? Maybe there was a great school teacher that said, Tim, I know you can do more than you're doing now. I know that you can succeed in this area. For me, it was math. It kept me in the low group for so long. But there was a teacher who encouraged me. Anyone who has gone on to college probably was encouraged to believe they could do more than they thought they could do. But who also encourages you to live your life fully for the Lord Jesus Christ? To live your life full of faith and hope and passion for God? Maybe there was a Sunday school teacher. I know in college even, there was a woman named Inga Knudsen. And Inga lost her husband when she was still fairly young. Her children were mostly grown at that time, and she went and lived and was a house mother at Lutheran Bible Institute in Seattle, way back in the old days when it was really right in the north end of Seattle. And Inga got to sit in the classes from these great Bible teaching professors, and so she absorbed a lot of great Bible knowledge. And I remember her teaching the book of Acts, and it was an adult Bible study. And these other adults are there, and I'm there as a college student, and I am just falling in love with God's Word by the way she teaches the book of Acts. And Inga is probably one of the people that is responsible for me being a pastor. Years later, now she was already pretty old at that time, or at least I thought she was when I was 19 years old. You know, she was probably 70. We came back about 15 years later and said, Inga, I want you to know, after I'd become a pastor, I want you to know how influential you were in me becoming a pastor just by the way you taught God's Word and had a love for God's Word. And she just, with tears in her eyes, just said to me, I never thought I ever accomplished anything, that I'd ever encouraged anybody along the way. I said, Inga, I'm sure you encouraged a whole lot more people than me. Maybe I was the only one that came back and said, it was because of your encouragement that God used among many to have me become a pastor. Now, even if you didn't become a pastor, who encourages you to live your life for Jesus Christ? And turn it around. Who are you encouraging to be all that God meant for them to be? Who are you encouraging to live their lives for Jesus Christ? And I hope that you're also an encourager. The title of our message today is Mutual Encouragement. Mutual encouragement. And the word encouraged is to inspire with courage. To encourage somebody is to inspire with courage. In ancient Greece, the word was used oftentimes on a battlefield where the general or the military leaders would inspire their soldiers in a battle to give them courage, confidence, and hope. And so it is to inspire with courage. It is the action of giving someone support and confidence to be and do all that they were meant to be and do. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 25, it says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That is the day when Jesus is coming back. And so as we sense, hey, the Lord's coming, encourage one another to be living your lives fully for the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews, chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, it says, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Here we're encouraging each other to live for the Lord, not for ourselves, not for the world. And maybe you're thinking, I really never had anybody that truly believed in me. I've never really had anybody that encouraged me, gave me confidence to become all that I meant to be. Well, if that's the case, know that that's why God has called us together to encourage one another. And so to receive encouragement, great way to start is to be an encourager. You'll be surprised how much encouragement you get just by encouraging others. So let's turn to Romans chapter 1. And if that sounds familiar, you're right, because that's where we were last week. And this week we're going to take a verse that I skipped over. I didn't address it much, but it's right there in the middle of the passage we looked at from last week about mutual encouragement. And what does it mean? How are we to encourage one another? Paul is writing to the Romans, and he is sending this letter in advance of a visit that he plans to make, desires to make, if God wills, and setting the groundwork for their time together to be mutually encouraged. So listen to that word for mutual encouragement. Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 7, I read in Jesus' name. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. That you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I plan many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. And I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to understand what it means to encourage one another, to build up one another in the faith that your plan and your purpose can be achieved in our lives and in your church. Lord, open the word to us today so that we can truly understand it and believe it and live it by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. And so how do we encourage one another? How are we to be mutually encouraged? Well, first of all, Paul tells us in this passage that we are to do it through prayer. First, he says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. If you can do nothing else to encourage people, encourage them by letting them know you're praying for them. Believe me, I am greatly encouraged. In fact, I was thinking about you yesterday. Jim, you didn't call me yesterday. Jim almost always calls me on Saturday morning. And he says, okay, Pastor, what are you preaching on? How can I pray for you? But I know so many of you and so many that are shut in at home are praying for me. And I so appreciate it. You don't know all the battles that go on Satan loves to try to sideline pastors and sideline me and keep the word from going forth in power on Sunday morning. So pray for me. Paul was always praying for them. In fact, one of the things that I admire most about the Apostle Paul, even more than his great wisdom and knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures. I mean, he was masterful at knowing all of the Old Testament. That was the Bible of his day. Is that Paul was one who spent time in prayer. He's always mentioning how he's praying for the various churches and for various believers. Colossians chapter 1 gives us an example. In verse 3 it says, "We give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." In verse 9 it says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask you to be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work," we're going to get to that bearing fruit part, "and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened," and we're going to get there too, "with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." Well, there's one of the prayers that Paul was praying in this instance for the Colossians, people he had never met, and he is praying for those in Rome, many of whom he knew personally that had lived elsewhere and had moved to Rome, and so he knew, a third, a fourth of the church in Rome, and if you look at Romans 16, as I mentioned last week, you'll get all those greetings that he gives to the church in Rome. But Paul was one to encourage people through prayer. And that is the first thing we can do. And we're going to be talking in point 3 about working together to bear fruit for this harvest that Paul's talking about. But it has to start with prayer. And so we're going to get to that again. But remember, to begin encouraging people, be an encourager through prayer. Ask people how you can be praying for them. Let them know you've been praying for them, just as Paul's letting them know, "I'm praying for you." Colossians is a wonderful example how we can pray for other believers. And so be an encourager through prayer. Secondly, Paul talks about being an encourager and being mutually encouraged by strengthening one another, by strengthening one another's faith. This is the way he puts it, verse 11. "I long to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong." Another translation is "established," steadfast. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Use the gifts that God has given you. God's given Paul the gift of exhortation, the gift of teaching, the gift of apostleship that he is to spread this good news along and build up the church through the word of God. And so Paul's using his gifts, but he's saying it's not just a matter of me bringing my gift to the table here, but it's a matter of being mutually encouraged as we strengthen one another in our faith. And if you go to Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about that God gave the apostles and the prophets and the teachers and the pastors to equip the saints for the work of service, that the body of Christ may be built up. And Paul's going to be that apostle and teacher and pastor to build up the body of Christ. But he's also looking forward to receiving the gifts of others as they're using their spiritual gift of generosity, of encouragement, of love and support. There's many ways that we can mutually encourage one another. You heard the passage read earlier from Colossians chapter 3 about putting on love and kindness and compassion and speaking to one another. Psalms and hymns, let's grab that verse here real quickly. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God," as we're here worshiping together, you're encouraging me And we get to encourage one another by speaking God's word to one another and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to one another. There's ways you can encourage that you might not even have thought about. But we do that in building up each other's faith, making us strong and firm and steadfast, confirming, that's a good word, we have confirmation, confirming, giving a good solid foundation of faith, strengthening one another in faith. R.C. Sproul, the late R.C. Sproul, I have to say now, a great Bible teacher, says, Paul is writing here about establishing believers in confidence and maturity in their faith, becoming confirmed, built up, and edified in it. This is why Paul wrote the letter to the Romans, and it is why, in the providence of God, his letter is given to us, that our faith, the faith that has taken root in our souls, may be established so that we may grow to maturity and full conformity to the image of Christ. That is, we can become more and more like Jesus. And so at the end of the book of Romans, the last chapter of the book of Romans, Paul kind of repeats himself here. Romans 16, verse 25, it says, now to him, and he does it in the form of a doxology, a praise to God, now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul just kind of gets that run-on sentence there. Just getting lost in praise to God. But the beginning of it says that God would strengthen you through this proclamation of the word, through preaching the word of God. And in 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 2 and 3, Paul sent Timothy to the Thessalonians. He says, we sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. So God's purpose is that we mutually encourage one another through our prayers and through strengthening one another, building up the body of Christ as we all use the gifts that God's given us. Have I lost anybody yet? We're going to pray. We're going to use our gift and encourage one another to build one another up, to strengthen them in their faith. But finally, Paul talks about working together to bear fruit. To bear fruit. And I've talked about this initiative that's coming up, this community initiative, this region-wide initiative called Explore God, and you're going to hear more and more about that. Billboards will start going up by the end of this week in the Chicago area, and people are going to start asking questions. What's this Explore God all about? And it's really about just raising questions and beginning to have spiritual conversations with people about the seven big questions of life, like, is there a God? And if there is a God, can we know him personally? And why, if there is a God, why does he allow pain and suffering in our world? There's all these questions, and people are going to have questions. And it's not that you just need to have all the answers, but that you just need to point them to the one who is the answer, to Jesus. Yeah, you know, we're talking about those big questions. And would you like to be a part of a group to discuss those questions? And there's some really great materials that you can do it one-on-one with somebody. It's right online. It's all free. Has the questions to ask, show a little video. What do you think about those people, what they said? Do you agree or disagree? Take the pulse of people. What do you think about Jesus? Who's Jesus? And did any of that resonate with you? And then, well, let's take a look. What does the Bible say who Jesus is? Who did Jesus say he was? Anyway, it's a great opportunity to bear fruit. But Paul's point is that we can't do this on our own. Listen to what he says, verse 13. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I plan many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. And that word for harvest, more literally, that I can gain some fruit, bear some fruit there. Gain a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. Verse 14, I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. And that is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. Well, it'd be great just to bring in the Billy Graham of the ancient world and say, okay, he's going to do it all. No, Billy Graham will tell you, he had the privilege of preaching that good news to stadiums. But it was all prayer and the diligent work of all the churches working together to bring people to come and to be praying for people. He got to help harvest the fruit. But there was a lot of work in the garden, a lot of work in the vineyard, in the fields before that harvest was to come in. We have to work together to bear fruit. Paul knew he needed their support. He needed their encouragement. He needed a launching pad, a place where he could be encouraged. And through their help, he'd be able to share the gospel. This isn't something we can do on our own. We need each other. You may be thinking, I don't know, I'm pretty scared about this Explore God thing. What does Pastor really want me to do? And part of it is I'm just going to be equipping you for the time when people are going to ask you this question. What in the world is Explore God all about? Do you know anything about that? And you better say, yes, I do. It's about having conversations about spiritual questions people have. Do you have any questions? I may not be able to answer them, but would you like to explore God with me? Would you like to find out more about what this is all about? Really, it's as simple as that. Just begin to start a conversation. It's really a conversation starter. But you need each other. I'm scared to do this. I'm scared to go over and ask my neighbor and give them a little invite card. Would you like to come to my house and explore God with me? I'm scared to do that. And I'm trained to do that. What are these people going to think of me? You know, that's why we need each other. And I need you to say, hey, Pastor, have you been talking to your neighbors lately? I'm praying for you. In fact, here's my spiritual gift, and I'm going to encourage you in that. My spiritual gift is reminding. Some people call it nagging, but it's exhorting. It's exhorter, and that is in the Bible. Okay, and so, you know, we need each other. You remember Paul praying for the Colossians? This is one of the things he prayed for. He says, we've heard of your faith, Colossians 1, verse 4. We've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that's come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing. They can't help but bear fruit and growing. It's seed that you put in the ground. And that seed, if it gets water and if it has good soil and if it rains, it's going to come up, you know, kind of like weeds do. They come up no matter what. The gospel will bear fruit. And it will grow. And then in verse 10, he prays for them, and we pray for you that you can live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. That's what Paul prays for all the Colossians. That's what Paul prays for the Romans. That's what Paul prays for us, that we should be praying for one another, that we can bear fruit in every good work, that God is going to work in us in ways we don't think we're capable of. But remember, part of encouragement is helping somebody to believe in themselves more than they do. Believe and give them confidence and courage. Well, God believes in us more than we believe in ourselves. Believe it or not, God wants to encourage us and give us the courage and confidence to bear fruit for him. Okay. Well, let's just do this real quick. What was the first way we encourage one another? We do so through prayer, good. And the second way we do so through strengthening one another, using our gifts and building each other up in our faith. And the third thing is to work together for the harvest. Did you have that, Bailey? You did. Terrific. You encouraged us to do that. Okay. By the way, you may have noticed at the bottom of your hand out there, there's people for you to pray for. I've put out that before. Great way to start just by listing their names. And hey, if you're a teenager, there's a little book here called The Book of Life, and Jim will get you more copies. I have copies up here. Get a little familiar with this. It has the Gospel of John in it. It's an easy way to share that with other teenagers. Hey, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know I need encouragement. Thank you for this congregation that in so many ways and in just this past month encouraged Linda and I so greatly. thank you for the encouragements that I've received over the years and I receive from this congregation that keeps me going. But Father God, we need each other. We need to encourage one another. And would you help us to do that, to pray for one another, to strengthen one another, to work together to bear fruit for you. Jesus said, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Lord, help us to fulfill that prayer of Jesus for us. And so, Lord, would you bless us this day? Bless us as we encourage one another. In Jesus' precious name, amen.